Welcome to the Kendi and Rabo podcast, sponsored by Maeve's Bar Sligo.
Ray's back, ladies and gentlemen. He brought snake oil. He went off on his honeymoon, himself and Laura, the two dirty old, sappy old perverts.
Pucky old, sowy old.
Riding in every toilet in Italy.
The amount of banging that happened on this trip.
Yeah, it was you going, are you finished in there yet? Hello?
I'll tell you all about the banging later.
What?
Yeah.
Ray, we're not that kind of podcast.
Oh, I have to talk about it.
Are we that kind of podcast? Maybe go back to Ray there. The big, he's tilting forward. He's wrecking my skull because I'm losing his skull. Go on. Why have you snake oil in your hand? What's
I have
that
a snake
about?
Oil.
Go on.
These are miniature, and we always start the podcast with a drink.
With snake oil? Fuck no! I don't want to get out of it, Ray.
So, a very, very kind listener to the podcast. His name is Ben Cano. Right. Ben works for. I don't know. Can I mention it or not? I think I can. Annandale Distillery.
Okay.
So they are a Scottish whiskey brand.
Oh, Scotch.
Scotch. Okay. No. Whiskey from Scotland.
The Scotch, isn't it?
Is it?
Isn't it?
I always wondered what Scotch was. And then
Brendan is Googling just as we speak. That's it from your mom's house. Are you Googling that, Brendan? Is Scottish
so
whiskey
I have,
Scotch?
He sent me over, very kindly, he sent me over four little bottlings.
He sent you four little bottlings
of whiskey. Four little bottlings of whiskey. And he said it for us. He said, thanks very much for all the good times. And I said, no bother.
Come here. Isn't it amazing, though? We decided very early on in this podcast that we were kind of, we have a drink like.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
I wish that we had said, oh yeah, welcome to the podcast. We drive fancy cars.
Yeah.
So people are like, come here, I want to send you this New York I got.
I think this cost him maybe, what, £15 to send?
Right, okay.
Obviously, he had to tell the Royal Mail that it was not alcohol because they don't like sending alcohol.
Oh, you can't do that?
No, you can't send like bottles of stuff. You can't send perfume.
Ever since Anthrax, man, this is great. Do you know what I learned about perfume?
Brendan has an answer.
I was about to say the most uninteresting thing ever, so don't.
What was it?
Thank God, Brendan. I just realised that your perfume bottles are 80%. You know, and if it says, oh, the toilet on it.
Yeah.
That means like it doesn't fuck all perfume in it. It's all cheap old shice. But if it says home or something or whatever.
Right.
Higher perfume, less
higher
alcohol.
Perfume, less alcohol.
I told you it was not interesting.
Was
why
really
did
bad.
You make me say it?
That was just out of curiosity.
Why did you make me say it then, Ray? I'm livid now.
Brendan.
Come on. Scotch is whiskey made in Scotland and it doesn't have an E in the word whiskey. So is that Scotch? Does it have an E in the word whiskey?
It's single malt Scotch whiskey. There's no E in the whiskey. They spelled it wrong.
No, that's way better than my perfume stuff.
So do you want to open one of these? We'll try this one of each.
Ray, if I drink this, I'm going to get shammed out if I take my top off and start fighting.
No.
Are you joking me, like?
So we're not going to drink all of it, but we're going to sup away in it.
No, I'm not supping away.
You're supping away
Ray,
in it now.
If I drink is there now a bottling of ginger ale or something to go with this?
I have a bottle of water here. If you want a little bit of water.
No,
I just think we should both take a little swig out of it.
The only time I swig whiskey is when there's nothing nicer in the world than downing whiskey and then drinking a pint of Guinness straight after us.
Well, you don't have that now.
I know, but that's why I'm saying I can't drink this.
No,
so this is called Mano Sword Swords. Swords. Mano Sword Swords Swords Swords. Sword,
mine
sword.
Is Mano Words 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 Words.
It is 95%. Have you seen the ABV on it?
What is it?
It's 60%.
Oh, yeah. No, that'd be whiskey, though, wouldn't it? Without
no, whiskey's like 40%. Ray, I'm going to go blind.
This was distilled in 2017. This is old stuff.
Oh, this has gone off. Ray, it's 60%.
All right, come on now. Let's get on with this. This is not supposed to be the whole podcast.
I know, but I'm just getting
you're
a bit
slowly
excited.
Unscrewing it. Whiskey's normally 40 to 50. This is good stuff.
60%. Right, Ray, I'm going to go. This is like moonshine.
Yeah,
this is putty.
Give it a smell.
Oh, that was buried in a field in Williamstown.
I mean, it was buried in the field in Williamstown.
I don't know. Did I tell the story before, no?
I don't think so.
But there's a guy, apparently the story goes, someone back home will tell me this is bullshit or you got it wrong. There was a guy called Putchin Flynn, like.
Right.
So Putchin Flynn, guess
and
what he did?
And the Sean Ball, no?
Guess what? Could have been actually a relation.
Yeah.
Absolutely could have been a relation.
Okay.
So he'll tell us if it's right or wrong. The what do you think he did for a living?
Putchin Flynn?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He was a contractor.
Silage. Silage contractor.
So he used to make putching, and apparently the guards went out one day, out the Williamstown Road, you're talking around the Fairview area.
This is in the Castlereagh direction.
Yeah, well, it's out towards Galway, really. Williamstown is Galway.
Okay.
You cross the border in towards out in Fairview. And apparently he knew the guards were coming, so he buried the putching in the bog.
Right.
And apparently the story goes it hadn't been found since.
Oh,
you know?
So there's a like a hip of poaching.
Oh, there's a gold mine somewhere. There's a gold mine somewhere out.
And the sad
out
thing is, you don't have the wee beeper things, the metal detector things to find the poaching.
Yeah, well, unless
there's
you
no alcohol detector.
Yeah, I don't imagine. Well, there is.
A couple of lads I know.
I fucking was just going to say, there's a couple of boys out there like sniffer dogs.
Try it now.
3 foot left. Okay.
Throw it into you now. Big gulp of it. Right, not here we go. Pause there for a minute.
I'm gonna get sick out my ears. I feel like my head is on fire.
That's why I brought the bottle of water. Oh, Ben,
give me a bag of Rennie. I'm not even drinking. Oh my god. Give me the water. Give me the water. That is so strong.
Oh god.
I see. I don't do that, Ray.
Thanks, Ben, for that.
Fucking hell. I gotta be drunk till Friday. I'm only after taking a swig. Oh my god, that's strong. What's that weird wood, the kind of wood taste off?
Oh,
it?
There's all sorts of oaty tones on that one now.
No, I mean, I'm not even messing when I say that. It tastes like a barrel of wood.
I feel hungover already.
Does he run?
You feel like I'm. Oh.
A haircut or a shite.
Oh my god.
As Paul Newell says, I don't know whether I need a haircut or a shite. I feel that bad.
That is so strong.
Right, now we can start.
Can we?
Yeah.
I'm blind. I'm blind. Come here, I can't feel my toes. Fucking hell.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be putting up a little unboxing video for that on the Instagram as well.
Oh yeah, did you not put it up already? No,
no, I said I'd wait till we did this in little
interview. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Annandale Distillery.
Come here.
Scotch whiskey.
Yeah, and if anyone else wants to send us alcohol.
Yeah, don't.
Jesus, don't. Fucking hell. The amount of drink that we get sent to us.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
And before I forget, a shout out at the very start of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday to Lily Goosewax's.
Oh, Caroline.
She's Katie. Katie is a relation of Caroline.
Right.
And she's turning the big 21.
Oh! So
now I won't forget that.
We're going to send you some whiskey, Katie. Here we go. Half of it's drank. But
How are you, Mark?
Yeah, not too bad, Ray. It's great to have you back. For anyone who doesn't know, Ray went on his honeymoon. To Italia.
Yes.
He went off with Laura. The two of them tipped off.
Yeah.
The big romantic heads on them. Big old puppy dog. Oh, love you, old eyes.
Yeah.
And I sat at home with. And I know you don't like talking about us, and I don't want to big it up or anything, like, but every day that goes by. My daughter is turning into more of a boss. Let's just say a boss.
Okay.
It's unbelievable.
Is there another word that comes after that?
Well, there's other words that I'd say to her under my breath when I'm trying to do the dishes, for sure. But it's just, I don't get how an 18-month-old who can't talk yet.
She looks very independent downstairs.
Did you see
now.
When you, when you walked into the house, I said this to Brendan as well.
But she was dressed like a teenager, I don't know, maybe that's not contributing to the, that's contributing to the problem.
Yeah, no, well, I did put those teenager jeans on her.
You put teenager jeans and a teenager top on her.
Yeah,
I did. She's walking around like a teenager.
Yeah, I know. But like, she's walking around the house like we're just staying there.
Like, it's her house.
She's walking around the house like we're just staying in the house.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
It's unbelievable. It's a real insight into human nature, like, because we obviously communicate through the language of English, right? And we use that. Like, I'm talking to you now and you know whatever way I'm feeling.
Sometimes.
But, like, really, it's not that. It's body language tells you so much more, doesn't it?
It can do.
No, I think it can, like, because if I could say to you now, I'm actually delighted with that, Ray.
Mm.
And you know I'm not delighted with that.
Yeah,
no, I am.
Many is an occasion where you've said...
No, I am. But so can we just stop? Ray, you obviously made that decision already, Ray. Yeah, so obviously
But I don't know. You obviously know how it's best. Like,
I'm just going to go with this.
I immediately know that you're not in full agreement with what we're doing.
Yeah, okay.
Look, good,
so
good, yeah.
She... Ali only has body language to tell us and a couple of, whatever. Yeah. But she runs an entire household on that alone. So what am I going to do when she actually is running the household?
Mm.
And what's she going to do when she turns 2 year old and we say, happy birthday, here's another baby?
Yeah.
She goes, there was a lot of realizations this week where I thought back to the time that me and Nicola went to Tenerife for 2 weeks, like on honeymoon.
Yeah. Stayed a very different honeymoon.
Well, yeah, we'll get into that out a bit. We stayed in 5-star hotels with like upgrades, staying in the suites, sitting on our sweet cheeks for 2 weeks.
Yeah, lovely.
And I was thinking back to that now going, me and Nicola, we'd never go on holiday ever again, first of all.
No, never.
No. And I was just going, Ray's gone off there now with the tail between his legs.
Yeah.
Now, big tail between
big
his
tail,
legs.
Big
old hairy old tail.
Swinny old Mickey old tail.
And I was going, Nicola, wasn't that some time to be alive?
Did you feel the need to text me to say, enjoy it, Ray? Enjoy it.
But I did though, didn't I?
I don't think you did.
I texted you to say, come here, you forgot to put the podcast out.
Oh, I did.
Out.
Sorry about that, everybody, last week. It was Friday when I was only arrived and I had already forgotten all my drums.
Yeah, I said, I did feel bad though. I felt like going, well, I just leave it. But no. I knew that you didn't know though.
I had forgotten.
Yeah, I knew that you'd forgotten because you wouldn't usually do that.
Yeah.
But I did really hope that you enjoyed yourselves out there. But we did find myself going, what a time that was to be alive when you were just tipping off. Like, you had to remember, you just tipped off there now and you didn't have to worry.
We didn't have to bring a bag. Are we seeing parents over there?
Like, I went to Centre Parks on my holiday, but it wasn't. It was a stress for 5 days straight.
We seen it. We seen parents with kids on the trip and we just looked at them and went, oh my God. First of all, big question. I said this to Laura. Why did they have so many bags? And then, the parents.
Oh yeah, because...
So, like, parents getting on the plane. We were coming home, there was parents getting on the plane. Very cool parents. Trendy, stylish parents.
Yeah, not like me and Nick.
And, But they had, like, the wife had a backpack on her back and a backpack on her front.
Oh, yeah.
And she was walking along holding the child's hand. And I was going, why do they need two bags in the plane? And then Laura started to tell me that it's not... I was in my mind going, all they need is a nappy and a bit of powder and enough to kind of clean up a mess if needs be. But
you're fucking naive.
But she explained it to me then, and in fairness, I do now understand, you need a change of clothes, or two changes of clothes if needs be, because, you know, the child
You need
might
minimum
upset.
Four vests a day.
Four vests a day. You need all the accoutrements for changing the nappies.
Yeah.
You need food. I see. Oh, yeah. Food is a massive thing to keep
because,
children going.
Yeah, because especially with kids, like, they can't just go... I might have the ravioli. Like, they, you know what I mean?
All the time.
Yeah, like, they just want to eat shit all the time. And they, you know, that's...
And then there's iPads to keep them entertained in the restaurants.
Colouring books.
Colouring books. That was a revelation to me. Yeah. Are you telling me you have to bring a colouring book for her and colouring pencils?
Now, we had to be very careful with colouring books because she had half crayon in her mouth there last week. And so that's the other
thing.
Like
the time my sister Marie had a Woodbine.
Cigarette,
yeah. My grandfather used to smoke Woodbines, and she was under the table in my grandfather's house, and there was a Woodbine that had fallen on the floor, just down the edge of the table. She had to shite out of it, straight down to the doctor.
I'd say she's still coughing.
That's what has her the way she is.
Oh my God, if you ate a Woodbine, like, that's like smoking 80 bags.
No. Sorry, Marie, that's not a story I intended to tell everybody.
Well, my sister-in-law ate turf when she was a child as well.
That's no harm in that.
That'll only do you good, though.
That's
the
just fossilised goodness.
The problem with the EU now is they won't let you eat the turf anymore.
That's vegan.
No, you can't eat turf anymore.
That's a vegan diet. You're eating fossilised trees from 200 million years ago.
Not according to him and Ryan. No, you can't be eating turf anymore, is he? But anyway, so it's not the... So you got to see, as you tipped off, lovely, the stress that is involved in families taking off.
Yeah, in fairness. So we wonder why they take off at all. But like, on one of the tours, there was two children on the tour. Like two young girls, like the same age as Ali. And they were tripping around. The only thing that kept them going was the few, what do you call them, little ligas.
Oh, man, yeah. They ate Liga. Them. Yeah, they walloped them. Yeah. But it is like, eventually, as a parent, you just wilt and you just give in to the... Like, you know, me and Nicola were so naive. And like when Ali was born, we were like, oh, we're just going to be the parents that still go out and do loads of stuff.
But we're thinking that too.
But that is so easy when they're that young. Yeah. Because all they do is suck tit and sleep, right? It's a great fucking life.
Suck, tit, eat, sleep. Repeat, repeat. Suck, tit, eat, repeat. Suck, tit, eat, repeat.
So that's all they do. Like, that's... So we brought Ali to Boston when she was 4 months old. It was the easiest thing we ever done.
Yeah.
She just slept all the time, like.
Yeah, now it's different.
You can't bring her outside the door of the house now, like. It's... Yeah. They just take over.
I understand now. My parents, all we did was Irish holidays when we were young.
Well, so we went abroad. We went to Bundoran as well. Yeah, my sister Ellie got locked in a toilet in Bundoran.
What happened in a little... Why was she wearing a little Brazil kit?
But she had three older brothers. We all just wore football kits, like.
Poor old Ellie trying to what you call it, fit in.
Yeah, but she got the best of both worlds, though, Ellie, when you think about it. I hate talking about her. Like, she'd probably go bad if you talk about her, but like... She grew up with three older brothers, real hardy men, like,
yeah,
you know?
Boys, lads.
Yeah, shots, we were all, the only one of I'm by. No, sorry, yeah, sorry, boys. Yeah, so, but the, you know, so she got all that sporty and the look after herself side of it as well. Yeah. And then she went off, found a fancy man in America and got married to him. Sure, she is the best of everything, the bitch.
Best of everything now.
Do you know? But she got locked in the toilet in one dorm before. But we did go on foreign holidays. No, she's still in us. Oh. No, she's getting married through the door and everything. She got married on Zoom. She's been there since she was three.
They call her the girl in Bundoran.
But the thing about that is, when that happens, like, that's a big deal for kids.
Yeah.
So, like, we were stressing out, like, we're never going to see Ellie again. That's it. She's done. She's going to be locked in this toilet forever. I used to have crazy, crazy problems when I was young with small stuff happening that would overcome me. So, there was a shop, a gala.
Right.
Daybreak, now it is. Used to be a gala.
Yeah, used to be a gala.
It's about 400 yards from our house back home on the Knock Road in Cashelry, right? Sure. We were coming back from Sunday Mass. You're talking 12:45 on a Sunday, obviously. Mm-hmm. And the car ran out of petrol at the shop. About 10 yards from the shop. And Dad had to go and get a canister of petrol and bring it. I bawled my eyes crying. I was about 8. Because I thought, oh, we're never going to go home ever again. We're going to be stuck 400 yards from the house for the rest of our life. That happened so many times. Now, I blame Dad for always going on the edge of the, I know, we'll get another couple of miles out of it.
But your dad, obviously, at that point, now, this is the thing. I was actually talking to a Bucks yesterday about this.
Right.
I went for a pint.
Oh!
Yeah, I went, sorry. No,
that's what's that like?
It was nice, though.
I just, see, see what I'm on about?
It was like lastminute.com.
Yeah.
We met Shane Gillen.
Oh, lovely.
And he told a story.
Come on.
About a bread van in America.
Right.
And all I can say is that him and his friends were involved in the bread van, in fiddling with the bread van.
Okay, should you have said his name?
Look, it's a matter of public record. It was mentioned at his wedding. I think it's okay.
Okay, lovely.
So,
okay, yeah.
So, bread van, incident with the bread van, and through that, I won't get into the story of the bread van.
Okay.
That's.
I would have rather you didn't say his name and told me the bread van story.
Oh.
That would have been better. Like.
But sure, I can beep it out now after.
Yeah, so you've beeped out his name now.
I have.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Okay, now tell me the story, because the story is always better than the person, Ray.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you went about that the wrong way.
He was a young Irish gentleman abroad on a J1.
Who shall be beeped.
Who has been beeped.
Yeah, who has been beeped.
And he was on a J1 in Boston and drinking pints, as you do. And one late night, himself and a number of other gentlemen from the locality were also drinking pints about Boston. And they came out of the place and were walking home. And as they're walking home, they came across a bread van making bread deliveries.
Right.
And the bread man from the bread van was up inside in the shop.
Okay.
Delivering in the sliced pans and whatnot.
Right.
So the lads thought, this would be great. Now let's get some bread. So they tipped into it. It was one of those, my eyes are getting,
my eyes are getting weary. UPS.
King of Queens vans.
Yeah, yeah.
So the door is obviously open.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no doors.
So the boys got in and they stole a rake of bread and they were delighted with themselves.
Okay.
So they started eating baguettes and all sorts of crack.
I was going to say, like, it wouldn't, yeah.
And then one of the lads, which in this case, this is where your dad reminded me of him.
Okay.
The non-worrier, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So you're the worrier.
Yeah.
This is the gentleman that told the story.
Yeah.
And then the man that was in the driver's seat of the bread van, the non-worrier.
Yeah.
Somehow he managed to unloosen the bread van and it careered down the hill. And he jumped out the back while it was moving and it crashed into a parked car and then into a wall.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Ray, he is what we call in this business a wild card.
Wild card.
Every group has a wild card. Yeah.
So the lads you're all
going,
thought
I don't know what way he's going to end up at all.
So the lads all thought this was hilarious and they just ran away.
Yeah.
But the cops got them.
Yeah, that's like a felony, like, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So they were brought to the police station and they were put in cells. So the man that told the story, who shall remain nameless and how it was beeped.
Who almost wasn't
nameless. He was a mark. He worried.
Yeah.
He was very worried about his future.
Yeah.
You know, how he would get out of this, how many years he was going to do in the can.
I'm going to do 10 years. I'll have to get a face tattoo and I'm going to have to either be a bitch or get a bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
And he started lining up the boys saying, you're my bitch now. That's what he started doing.
And the other man, who is the not warrior, the man who caused all the stuff, he was happy out, enjoying it for everything that it was. Well, this is a nice experience, isn't it?
So
they were brought in front of a court and they got local representation. So obviously they were brought in with all the criminals. They told the story in the courthouse. Everybody laughed. It's very funny, these three Irish lads.
Yeah, you know? Do we get away with some shit, don't we?
So they kind of got away with it. Now they got a fine of $2,500.
Jesus.
And and 8 hours community service.
Doing what?
This is the thing. It was to happen the following day.
Okay.
So they got bail. They got the bail money gathered up, right? And they got out that night. But they had to attend the community service the following morning at a location. The book that caused the problem, that let the... he went into piss.
Oh my God.
And they couldn't find him the following morning. They said, if you don't do the community service, you're in trouble. So they couldn't find him. So apparently another one of the lads stood in from him and pretended it to be him. Who had nothing to do with the situation at all.
Oh my, that is a friend.
That's a good friend.
Yeah. But the other fella there, the wild card, that's not worth it.
Why?
I think it gets you an age.
I think that lad's doing very well for himself at the moment.
I think, that's the thing, man. Yeah. So who are you better off being? Are you better off being me, the fella who worries about everything?
Yeah.
Or are you better off being the wild card who goes, they can't kill me?
Actually think the wild card. Now, you don't have to be the wild card, but I think he's living in the present and he's going, this is going to be great. They're not going to kill me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend the rest of my life in prison. Obviously, within reason.
Yeah.
You know, but he was, and I don't condone that.
Yeah, don't steal bread vans.
I don't say, I would hate to steal a bread van. Yeah. I'd hate to crash bread van. I have a huge love for inanimate objects. I hate seeing anything getting broken.
I have a huge love for bread and all things.
I just think it'd be an awful loss to the bread industry if a bread van was crashed.
Yeah, I actually think it's disgusting now, the more you say it.
Yeah, the more I say it, I'm disgusted and do not condone his activity.
I'm actually livid at the bike stuff.
But I just, your dad there in that situation reminded me. He's a fella, look it, if we run out of petrol, and that's a really good example.
Yeah.
If you're worried about, like, you're really low on the gauge and going, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, what's the worst that's going to happen?
Yeah, I know.
Obviously, your son is going to cry like a girl in the back seat for approximately
like a little tiny bitch ass girl,
Like, that's tough on a father. That's obviously had effect on him.
No, it didn't, because he did it multiple times. Another time we got stopped outside Schkahl's.
What is Schkahl's?
Schkahl's is, you know, the shops where you're like, come here, I need a loaf of bread and a clock.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Do you know? There's one of those real famous in Castlereagh, Robert Flynn's. If you go into Robert Flynn's, you can get a 12-gauge shotgun and a goldfish.
Oh, lovely.
Do you know?
Yeah, okay.
You don't know what to come out with, you know?
It's like the Middle Island Little.
Like, that's...
shotgun and goldfish.
But it is, though. I'm not exaggerating. Like, you can get guns in there. You can get fish in there.
Right.
You can
get sweets. Anything other than guns and fish?
No, guns and fish is all.
That's it. The guns and fish shop. It was a special. Castlereagh.
Yeah, but like Addington's, penny sweets, all that. So there was another one of those. Like, well, Schkahl's was actually more kind of furniture and stuff, like antiques. Okay.
Right.
But like, you could still go into them and say, you could probably go into them and say, give me 20 major. Yeah, you probably had them under the counter. Like, you know.
Half pound a half.
But anyway, we got stopped outside Schkahl's one time with the. I remember
Who
all of these.
You?
No, no, the car stopped when Dad was like, we'll get home. Worried about us. He never petrol in the car. He was fucking.
That's so living on the edge, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, like, but the thing is, you know, like, I didn't have the same respect for money back then. He was probably going, I need this to get home. Like, I, you know
but
what I mean?
The question is now, do you ever let the car go low now?
No.
Have you been PTSD'd into always having to have full
No, I mean, Nicola will tell you, like, I'll be sitting twiddling thumbs if I'm like, you know, if I'm like, geez, I'm gigging tonight just in town and it's not, I saw the gauge come on. And I don't
you
like
have to
this.
Go sort it out.
But like, that kind of anxiety is nothing to me. Like, I live on that kind of anxiety all the time, you know? So that's, you know, that's just the way. I think something happened when I was a child that must have been that stuff.
That
maybe it was the dad stuff that has passed on, like him not putting petrol in the car. Ever.
Now you're putting loads
of
petrol
in the car. We had a 1.6 charisma rate and the fucking thing, man, was nearly panting every time. Give me something, David.
Do you know the way you've reminded me of something else. You know the way I have a DCI card?
Oh, yeah.
So for anyone who doesn't know, a DCI card, the DCI are a company that provides cards to buy fuel with. Fuel card.
That's right.
And I have it because I do a bit of self-employed sound engineering on the side.
You do.
And as a result...
You know exactly what you're spending on.
It's handy at the end of the year when you're doing a tax return. You can just look back at your 12 bills and you can see that's how much you spent in diesel.
Yeah, it's
how
great.
Much that was. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. It's also what I like to call a fuel credit card. So I never have to.
Even if you don't have money.
Present Ray never pays for petrol.
Yeah, yeah.
Or diesel. It's always the 20th of next month, Ray. So, that's the man that has to suffer that bill.
So me and you are so. That is so funny because that's Ray in a nutshell.
Yeah.
You're going, put your.
Ray, let's go. Yeah. I'll put it on the card.
Yeah, 2 weeks, Ray, let worry about that.
Yeah.
I know we might have said this before, but I've done work for Ray where he has paid me in DCI fuel.
Yes. I bought petrol and now I realise why you were so into that arrangement. Because obviously it was good for you.
Yeah, you'd be going, Mark, I need you to do a bit of work and come here, I'll fill up the car for you.
Yeah, and that's it then.
Because you didn't have money to pay me then.
And then I paid for it, yeah.
Yeah, but in 2 weeks you'd pay.
So because I have the DCI card and because it's future Ray's problem, I just fill it up anytime I go to the filling station.
Yeah.
And I went in Ballinalak, everybody's favourite, on the road to Dublin filling station.
Oh, it's a marvellous filling station. The only problem with Ballinalak is, lads, I'm going to tell you this now, you may put a roundabout or something on that shop. Because if you pull into it, right? Jesus Christ, you'd be doing well to cross that road again and get back out onto the Dublin road.
It's very hard.
To place a death trap rate.
It is. That's where I had the accident at the time. But anyway.
That is true, yeah.
Where I went in and filled it up, I went in and I didn't remember my pump number. So I said to the nice lady behind the counter, I said, I don't know which pump I was on. It's something around 100 euros worth of diesel.
Right.
And she said, it's 113.94. And I was like, oh, Jesus. You got that one pretty quick. And I said, would that be easy to identify? She said, absolutely. No one buys that much diesel. And I went, excuse me? She said, only commercial, and like companies coming in with a truck will buy that much.
Yeah.
But she said, your average private person will only ever put something up to 50 euro in it.
Yeah, yeah, tenner.
They'll never, and this reminds me then of Sharon Cawley's father, Shamie. Shamie Cawley always said, what would you be doing filling the tank full of petrol? You only have to spend petrol then to carry that petrol to
That's
where
right.
you're going.
We always had that argument as well, is that the car is heavier now and you're only burning petrol now to be.
Yeah.
But the thing is, do you remember when you were younger, like when you got your first car? I remember a friend of mine when Ian got his first car, that like we'd be literally going, here, I have a fiver, like that'll get us around the town now another one or two times, like again. Hoping to God you'd see some young one that had seen the two of you in the car
and go, the job done,
that's it there now. Yeah. I'm going to ride both of those fellas now. And I and it's funny, it never happened.
No.
It was the worst fiver I ever spent, really.
But I
never
have
got to ride out of
them. Cars are great. Cars are great for getting girls in the west of Ireland anyway.
What, you mean you think your old Opel Astra that used to have, do you remember this shite? Call it? Petrol green or something?
It was petrol blue.
Petrol blue, it was green. Ray had an old green. Do you remember the old 90s Astras? Do you remember, lads, the old 90s Astras?
They were a fantastic car.
Ray had a green version of
petrol blue.
It was a green.
That's what
car.
It said in the logbook. I don't know why you keep saying this.
The fuck, man.
Do you want to hear about our honeymoon at all?
Oh, yeah, sorry. You better get on to your honeymoon, Ray. Yeah, sorry, go on.
Jesus, half an hour into
it. I'm just jealous, that's all.
Yeah,
how did you get on in Italy anyway? Was it the most organised bit of crack you've ever had in your life?
It wasn't too bad.
I have more stuff you to organise as well, by the way. I was on to a wedding couple in Spain.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, the Atlantic have to go to Spain, lad. So I need you to get into full Ray organising mode.
I
need the folder. I need you to collect it. It's not till next May. I need you to collect everyone's passports now.
I've already looked at the ferry cost of actually driving over in advance of doing a wedding in Spain. Now it is about €2,000 all round trip.
I'll tell her. That's what it costs now. You want to get the Atlantic out there to Spain. Anyway.
We went to Italy.
Yeah.
Right? It was marvellous.
Yeah.
First day, Colosseum.
Wow.
You're familiar with the Colosseum?
I am. Was there a fight on? Who was fighting McGregor?
There was no one fighting. It's closed. It's a long time.
Right.
It's closed down.
Who was fighting McGregor?
They lost,
or fighting Chandler?
They lost the fight license.
They still have the drink license.
Still
now.
The drink license.
They're
yeah.
doing wine and a buffet, yeah. and they're flying now below in the Colosseum. They're doing great business altogether.
It was our first day there.
It's actually an asylum seeker spot now at the Colosseum. Full of.
I'm only saying, Ray.
The big ball now heading you. I'm only saying, Ray.
Stop. We can't talk. About
I'm.
That.
But I'm only saying. Yeah. I did nothing to do with that.
Yeah. Let's
all
gather together and talk about it.
No, we won't gather together and talk about Ballina, great town, Ray. Go on. I'm not talking about this.
Yeah, was it? Was it?
No. Will you just stop? Because. You're the problem now, Ray. You
sorry.
Anyway, I'm making a joke that the Colosseum has turned into an asylum seeker's place.
No, it's not.
It doesn't tell you either way which I'm leaning.
Yeah, okay, yes, you're right.
I wouldn't be leaning against it anyway. So you wouldn't catch me leaning against it.
We're at the Colosseum, and Miguel is bringing us round.
Yeah.
And it's tremendous. And
he's Spanish.
Spanish. So first thing he does is he brings us to the Roman Forum, which was kind of the main square of Rome back in the day.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting. It wasn't too hot. It was a mighty time of the year to go to thing.
Yeah.
And I was delighted with that. And then eventually then he brings us into the Colosseum. Laura's getting excited. We arrived into the Colosseum via the Gladiator's Gate. Oh, so this is a big...
This is where Russell Crowe walked.
I paid the extra pound to get the Gladiator's Gate entrance.
No.
I wanted to go in with the Gladiator. We walked in and Laura turned to me and she said, is this it?
Oh, fuck, that's not good.
I said,
I don't mind, but she said that to you before, Rich.
She
remember
did,
the first time?
First time, yeah. No, there was a time right there.
She said, is that it?
Is that it? But that's, she said, is that it? And she said, when did we actually see the Colosseum? And I said, this is the Colosseum. And she's like, oh.
But you not walk out into the field?
You do, yeah, but because your man kept calling it an amphitheatre.
She thought it was massive.
She thought this was the amphitheatre before the Colosseum. She thought it was a different spot. And she thought we were going to go from the amphitheatre into the Colosseum.
So again, not to quote her twice again, did she say she didn't realise how small it was? No, I mean that really though. I know
in fairness, the second time in our marriage, she did not realise.
She said it's smaller than I anticipated.
Smaller than I anticipated. But it's okay, she said.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
It is always the case, though, that when you land to these places, you're kind of like, all right, it looks bigger on the television.
Yeah, looks bigger on the television.
Looks bigger on my 65-inch at home.
So, we... sorry, now, I'm just going through the little notes.
Oh, you keep going.
Yeah.
That evening, I'll chime in whenever I feel the need.
That evening, we went for the dinner, and we went to a TikTok famous restaurant called Tonarello.
All right.
I am going to say the name. Because it's famous in the TikTok and everybody says, if you go to Rome, you should go to Tonarello.
Okay.
So we did that.
Is this like your one who goes around Dublin saying, best bar in Dublin? Is that why it's
kind
famous?
Kind of, yeah. There's loads of people saying, Tonarello, that's the place to go.
Right.
So we went to Tonarello.
Right.
And we queued up and Laura was with me. She said, look, I'll do this for you. You know, she had no interest in Tonarello.
Yeah, because she anywhere. Ate chicken nuggets and chips.
Chicken nuggets, chips. Yeah. So we queued up and your man got to the thing and your man was possibly the most ignorant man I've ever met in my life.
No. The Italians are not known for that, by the way.
But
they're just known. No. The French are. They're known for being relaxed, the Italians.
Yeah, no, this guy knew well he was TikTok famous.
Go away.
So he said, how many for? I said, two. I said, what's the name? And I says, Ray. And then he goes, Ryu. And I went, no, Ray. And he went, Ryu. And I went, no.
You were like, I'm about to change my name then.
I'm going to call you Ryu. R-E-W.
Why did he say that?
Because he's as ignorant as fuck.
Yeah, no, the Italians are like that, Ray. I've always said it.
But that was fine. I said, okay, whatever. Went and sat on the steps abroad in the square waiting for our name to be called. And the next thing, your man started shouting, Ryu! Ryu. And I'm sitting there going,
but would you not just go with it anyway?
We got in then. He was supposed to seat us outside. He didn't. He put us inside in the pokey little restaurant and it was shite food.
Was it?
Yeah.
Now, this is the problem. All you young bitches out there, don't be believing everything you see on TikTok.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Alan Clark said it best. Huh? Don't go to the one with the queue. Go to the one beside it.
No.
All the same.
Yeah, no. That's the thing. Especially in Italy as well. They're all just... It's just pasta.
It's all pasta.
Is it all just pasta though?
It is all pasta. That's all I did. I hear said pasta all week. You should eat pizza as well, but I was interested in the pasta.
No. Yeah, like you must have gained a ton of weight.
I'm not. I'm still the same.
No,
size.
You did. Okay. You did. No.
Speaking of restaurants, I was very good at, in Rome, a lot of people going, come in to the, hello, how are you? Buenos Aires, come and sit down.
Oh, Turkish hospitality.
Yeah, trying to get you into the place.
Yeah.
And I was great at saying, no way, no thanks, you're fine, I apologise, no, you're grand. And we kept walking until we met, apparently, I have an Achilles heel. There was an attractive lady outside one of them.
But you know, Ray, it happens to the best of us.
And it was just before, we had a bike trip. Which I'll talk about. We had a bike trip organised and it was like 15 minutes before the start of the bike trip. Yeah. And we were waiting there and she came out and she said, would you like to sit down? I immediately said yes.
Would you sit down with me, says you?
And I she looked,
Laura, why don't you go on the bike trip? both going to be riding.
Why are we sitting down? I said, well, we have to go to the toilet. We might as well sit down. And then she was pushing dinners and appetisers and everything on me. And I was going, So eventually I got a plate of... ham, you know the old Italian ham.
Oh yeah,
and a big white ball of mozzarella.
Oh yeah, that's
ham and cheese.
Yeah, it's shite.
No bread.
I know. Yeah, here's the thing though, Ray. That's not a culture in Ireland.
They're trying to get you into the.
Have you ever been in Ireland where someone's gone? Come in. Usually they're saying, "Is your man after coming in here? We have to fucking serve again now for another half an hour."
Yeah.
So that I got that in Turkey. Turkey is very bad for that. You can't walk down the street in Kusadasi without them.
Was that when you went to get the hair done?
Huh? I didn't meet tits go to get the hair done. This is all natural.
Yeah, sure.
I get complimented on my hairline and I'm just going, do you know, for now I'm actually delighted. At least there's something about me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Alan Clark said it best himself. Alan, lovey, you won't remember us. But Alan said to me a while ago, he said, Jesus Christ, you have some hairline still at the... And I was like, do you know what?
At your age.
At least, like, there's not a woman hasn't talked to me in 10 years.
Yeah.
But Alan Clark telling me I had lovely hairline.
That was nice.
I was on cloud nine for 2 weeks, right? You know?
Anyway, Kusadasi are bad for it as well.
Oh, they're just it's very bad. The European continent, it's really bad for people trying to just pull you. It turns you off the place. You end up going, no, would you ever... By the time the 7 days is around, you're saying to people, would you fuck off?
When we went down then, we went down to the Amalfi Coast.
Oh, yeah. Right? What's that like? No, that's supposed to be unreal.
Oh, marvellous.
You didn't like it?
It's a postcard, like. It's like driving into a postcard.
So that's what it costed £3.
They don't ask you into the restaurant. No. They have the same approach as Irish people.
Yeah.
You go in and you're going, I'm looking for dinner. And they go, reservation.
Yeah.
And you're going, I don't have one. Well, then you're not eating here.
No.
No.
So there we go. Yeah. That's...
And the prices between the two places. Honestly, it's a good job we're only there for a short time.
Why? It's very bad.
You buy a jumper in Rome for a tenner.
Right.
You get out to Positano, the same jumper's €240.
Jesus Christ.
A bowl of pasta is €26.
Where?
In Positano.
Jesus Christ. A bowl of old pasta.
A bowl of pucky old sowie, old mucky old.
I'll tell
pasta.
You what, there's some restaurants in Sligo that wouldn't go far from charging you £26.
They'd pay £26 for a big steak and a load of chips. And a side salad and a bit of coleslaw and a peppercorn sauce on the side.
You're making me fucking hungry now, Ray. I haven't had dinner yet.
Yeah.
But what was the Draco Malfoy coast like? Was it good? Was it like...
Oh, it was very good, yeah.
Like you're on the lake, is this?
Oh,
is
you know,
lake?
You're on the Mediterranean, like. And it's all cliffs. In fairness, you'd get the same out in Ballycastle there in County Mayo if they just developed it. Or another place I thought of, like we went out on a day trip to Capri, which is an island. And I was thinking, it looks exactly the same as Clare Island. It's just there's not many houses on it.
Yeah, so... and also, this is the thing. I truly believe this, and I think I've said it on this podcast before. Ireland is the most beautiful country in the world.
If you could just roof it.
And that, no.
You could just put a roof over it.
Ireland's the most beautiful country in the world, and the west of Ireland is the most beautiful part of Ireland. The problem we have, we would be exactly like Italy, but it pisses out of the heaven.
It does,
here
but climate change is going around. It's going
fingers
the right
crossed.
Way.
Ray, I'm putting deodorant on 20 times a day. I want climate change. I'm trying to blow a hole in this ozone and
we're
get some fucking rays.
We're still running bogs down in Mayo just to try and keep things
ticking
over.
Try and keep
over.
It ticking over, man. We need to get... I'm all for climate change. And I think we need to start pushing it.
And we need to start buying up bits of land on Clare Island so that we can start developing it into what is now Capri.
Yeah, no, let's do that because the tourism industry would... People love the ruggedness of the rural Ireland. Try living in it, you sour bastard. This place would be beautiful if the sun was splitting the sun. You know that couple of days that we have for the summer every year?
Yeah, the 4 or 5.
It is just that's unbelievable. Yeah. People are out in Ross's Point, they're eating ice cream and flip-flops. Yeah. It's so beautiful that's... We are the most beautiful country in the world.
Just need to roof.
It's just we have a shit climate. Mm. It's the same as Scotland. If you go up to the Scottish Highlands or whatever, it's fucking beautiful around there. But the fucking... if you had a tattoo, man, the wind would take it off you. Yeah. That's how bad... You know what I mean? It's one of the most fucking places.
It was lovely anyway in Italy. It was like that. Like what Ireland be with sunshine.
Now, the only thing is, if we had loads of sunshine, it wouldn't be green.
No, it wouldn't.
I mean, there's a reason that Scotland and Ireland are so green.
Italy was fairly green too, though.
Or was it either?
They had all the best things going on.
Do you know
on.
Like when you go to Spain, and Spain is beautiful, and you go to the beach, but then you're like, me mother used to say, we're going to walk to the market. And walking to the market is like walking through 2001 Baghdad. You're like, this place is horrible.
I know.
Because it's all just burnt soil.
Burnt old, pucky
you know,
old,
burnt
sowy
old, pucky old, sowy yeah. old soil. Yeah. Old, wrinkly old soil, you know? So, I mean, maybe we'd lose that if we had savage weather here in Ireland.
You know all the history stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, so at one stage we were on the biking trip, which was marvellous, e-bikes.
E-bikes are unreal.
We stopped in the Park of the Aqueducts, which are these ancient aqueducts that run into Rome.
Can you explain what the aqueduct is?
An aqueduct is basically a big thing with pillars, a big stone thing with pillars that brings the water from a lake 30 miles away into the city.
30 miles?
Yeah, that's what the Romans built.
Jesus.
And I brought Laura over to them and I said, touch that rock there now. I said, that rock was put there by some lad 2,000 years ago.
And she said, Ray.
She said,
I couldn't give a shit.
She said, it's so hard. And I said, it really is.
Oh.
Sorry,
why don't you lick it?
We came back to the guide and the guide told us that the particular, there was two aqueducts and I brought her to the one on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And the one, we came back to the guide anyway. And the guide then said, so this aqueduct on the right, which is the one we didn't go to, that's 2,000 years old. Put there by emperor or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the one here on the left, that's the one that the Pope built about 400 years ago.
Yeah, so you
so
were...
So I was... Oh, I was
you were like, oh, I can really feel the history in it.
Yeah.
I can feel the 2,000
I bet an awful legion of myself.
A load of bollocks.
Yeah.
That's another thing as well. Artifacts like that, Ray. It's all pretentious shite, isn't it too?
It is.
Because I could hand you a coin and say, that's ancient. 3,000 years old. And you'd go, what?
Yeah.
But there could be fucking 2006 written on the back of it. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's all shite, like.
All shite.
It's all perception and shite.
First morning we arrived in Positano, there was a serious dose of banging.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone, just settle in now.
Yeah.
Because this just took a turn.
Took a turn.
Now.
Right. We.
Here we go.
There's a lot of banging in Sligo.
Yeah, a minute and a half of the. What?
There's a lot of banging in Sligo.
Yeah.
It was something we were trying to get away from.
Okay. You were trying to get off the banging?
No, the construction in Sligo near the house is terrible. Banging every morning from like 7:30.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Pull your pants back up.
The restaurant underneath the B&B that we were staying in was under construction.
They don't tell you that, do they?
And they don't tell us.
Yeah.
They didn't tell us, the bastards.
Yeah.
That first morning I was so raging because I was going, they could have told us this and then we wouldn't have planned to sleep in. Do you know?
Well,
I know
it's something you don't. You also wouldn't have booked it either.
No, like, we probably, yeah. If they said, if they'd given us an opportunity to say, look, it's going to be noisy here for the few days you're here. Do you want to book somewhere else? We'll help you. If
but they don't want that. They want the money.
They want the money.
Yeah.
And I was going, I am going to complain about this, but it's so hard.
To complain to
when
Italians.
You meet the fucking owner of the place the last day and you're kind of going, the banging was a lot. And he was going, sorry, it was so delayed. And
he could have said, we were going to say the same thing. You were rattling the walls up there, the Dewey.
Yeah, true.
How did he burst in the door? But I thought, I said, someone's getting hurt. That fella is roaring.
Yeah, or
she's hurting him.
The workmen are still working, and it's 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
They've been working for the last, it must be 90 seconds.
I didn't
They've been going hell for leather work.
Yeah.
That
best,
tango.
It's the best minute and a half of anyone's life. Yeah.
The boys have an awful kangle going. Anyway, that's enough of the sex euphemism.
But that B&B,
it
was unique in that first month. They do the breakfast in the room. So there's a little balcony. So a lady,
that's lovely,
Consuela, has to come in.
She comes down like a window cleaner, but at a fucking zip line.
She has to come into the room. So we had to get up and make ourselves ready and tidy it up a little bit to let this lady in.
Oh, that's a lot of
shite. Every single morning we had a visitor. And she came in and she put out the tablecloth and she put all the juices and everything else on. It's very strange.
And the two Eve.
Well, Laura would tip into the bathroom and she'd do the getting ready in the bathroom. And I'd just be sitting there real awkward watching the lady just set up the thing.
Now, you'd be sitting there with the legs spread and the big head of red cabbage fucking ready to go. And you're saying, lay it down there.
Stop. No.
What juice have we this morning, Consuela?
No.
I don't know why she's Spanish as well.
I don't know
any Italian women's name.
We've seen Pompeii.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say, sorry, by the way, just to go back for that.
Yeah.
She must have said, this fella's not in a honeymoon at all. I haven't seen a woman in here sit.
That's like, true. It must have looked like I was on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fairness.
Yeah, set up the two spots there.
Yeah, and I'd eat the whole lot.
All of a sudden you come out. Anyway,
I forgot to say as well, so Pompeii was later in the league, but we also went out to Capri. There was a moment where I jumped off the boat into the sea.
I saw it on the video. Yeah, you lost your goggles.
Lost my goggles, but I found them again.
You looked like my father the first time we ever went to Santa Panza.
Thanks.
That's exactly what you looked like.
I had a float, and I was wearing goggles, and I didn't care.
Why did you have a float?
Because I can't swim rightly at all. I'd be afraid I'd drown. And in fairness, if I didn't have the float, I would have drowned, because I was so put out when I jumped in with the goggles on. Next thing I came up, and the goggles were gone. And I said, that's the goggles gone now, lost in the Mediterranean.
So, do you need to have goggles on when you jump into the water?
I can't open my eyes under the water. Can you?
What? You're just like the rest of the human race.
No, I can't. People can't do that. Can you open your eyes under the water?
Yeah.
Maybe that's something I should try and do a New Year's resolution.
Right. So
Brendan can't.
So of course you can open your eyes underwater.
No, I'd say we should put that up as a little Instagram poll. Can you or can you not? Can
if you're swimming in the sea, it's not going to burn your eyes.
That's just, I wouldn't take
no,
chance.
No, I wouldn't.
So I'd be closed.
The other thing is as well, so no, I'm telling you can open your eyes underwater.
Oh, you can. Some people can, but not everybody.
No, everyone.
No.
The entirety of the human race can open their eyes underwater.
No.
The other thing is as well, did you need that noodle?
The float?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that wasn't a joke noodle?
That wasn't a joke noodle. I asked for two and only gave me the one, which was a shame.
I don't want to shit on you. That's what it's called.
Oh, they're a noodle. Yeah, okay.
I'm being serious. I don't want to shit on you or whatever, but geez, you're lucky. Like,
why?
Because like, you know the icks, like icks.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like you're lucky Laura looked at that and went, yeah, no, I will. I'll stay. You jumped into the Mediterranean,
yeah,
with goggles and a noodle,
yeah,
at the age of...
We might put a little bit of a clip of this up on Instagram during the week.
That is, I mean, she is doing well to go. That's my fella, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
him. Because there was like other trendy couples on the boat, and only me and one other couple jumped in.
Do you think
so? Laura
that
was there filming me doing this.
Do you think they thought that she was your SDA?
Or my sister.
It's like a you're like a, maybe an old trip to Lourdes or
a Make-A-Wish job.
Yeah, and they're like, ah, not lovely that you brought him out.
Yeah, I did look ridiculous, I won't lie.
That, no, you did. I'm not even joking. Like that, I thought sandals. You were messing, yeah, and the bad blue sandals and everything.
Yeah.
You're fucking, how do you do it?
Confidence, Mark. You got to just believe in yourself.
It's just unbelievable, like, that she's with you, like,
yeah,
with the head in you.
Yeah.
Not now, like, you look, yeah, but like the head in you out there that she didn't go, geez, I fucking made a big...
she was quiet after that.
Huge misjudgment here on this fella.
She could have been introspective after that bit.
Fucking hell. Yeah. Anyway, Ray, keep going. Sorry.
So we went to Pompeii.
Oh, yeah.
You're familiar with the story of Pompeii?
Yeah.
Pompeii is a little town in Rome that was completely covered by a volcanic eruption.
Mount Vesuvius, Raymond.
It blew up on the 24th of October, 79 AD.
I was a bit off. Sorry. Yeah.
Bit off. But it was, it's magic to go and look at it.
Yeah.
It's full of penises.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. Full of cocks. Apparently it was...
You can preserve a Mickey, lads. They're ridden a fucking volcano that'll erupt like a Mickey.
It's little terracotta Mickeys and balls. Like the little... You know the standard little thing you'd see in a toilet?
Yeah.
They're over the particular... The brothels. There was loads of brothels.
In Pompeii?
It was more brothels than bakeries in Pompeii.
What a fuck. I mean, obviously it didn't work out, like, but it must have been great crack while it was there.
It ended badly for them.
Yeah, but I'm sure it was worth it. Like,
it was,
I'm sure if
town.
You asked them again, they go, nah, I would. I'd still live there.
Yeah, in fact, all we were seeing was fancy houses, bakeries, pubs, and brothels.
Savage.
They are the four places they showed us.
And the whole thing is like preserved, isn't it?
The whole thing is preserved. You're it's magic.
So how did they get rid of the eruption?
How do you mean get rid of it?
So let's say Mount Vesuvius is ticking over.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it says, I'm fit to go.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
Yes.
I can't, like, I'm not pulling out. So it erupts.
Yeah.
And it covers the town of Pompeii.
Yes.
So how do they dig it back up again?
Oh, they just literally dig, and when they find a wall, they dig around it.
Go ahead. Like, so they have to dig the whole town out.
And they've been last 300 years digging it. And there's still another 100 years worth of excavations to do.
And they're finding people and preserves.
They're finding holes in the ground where people used to be.
Why?
Because
the
volcanic ash would cover the person.
Yeah.
That obviously died through asphyxiation. Very sad.
Yeah.
And that person then over the 2,000 years disintegrates.
Okay.
So there's nothing in... So the hole is around... It's the ash forms around the person's body, but then the body disintegrates, so therefore you've just got this little gap in the...
Oh, I thought there was a full preservation of
But what
bodies.
They do is they pump in a bit of concrete.
They cast it,
cast in, and then that just hardens, and then they chip away around that.
That's fucking brilliant.
Well, it's not ideal no, for the obviously person that happened to it.
But I mean, it's funny that you can turn that into tourism, like, you know?
You can.
I mean, like, even if you look at, in our recent history, like, you can do, what's it called, Brendan? Like a black cab tour of Belfast, is it?
Oh, yeah.
What's that called, Brendan? Oh, it's called the Black Cab Tour.
Yeah.
Where, like, this stuff only happened in the 80s, like.
And they tell you all about it.
And the 90s, and they bring you all around the places where, like, so there's money to be made everywhere, there like, is. Isn't
and
there, you
the
know?
The sad thing about Pompeii is it was about 20,000 people. So it's very, very similar to Sligo. So as we were walking
If Knocknarea or Benbulbin just burst.
Just burst. Now, I thought about that, and I said to Laura, I said, wouldn't it be amazing if in Pompeii we could resurrect someone that knew the town really well?
Okay.
Right? And got them to walk us around the ruins of the town and tell us where everything used to be. And then I'm thinking, imagine if this had happened to Sligo.
What, Gino?
Now, Gino! Yeah.
Did you think Gino as well?
And straight away, Gino Boyle came to mind, a former mayor of the town.
Yeah.
And he came to mind as the man that you would resurrect. So if Sligo this evening was covered in volcanic ash, and 2,000 years later we resurrected Gino Boyle,
to
who obviously died in the ocean.
Yeah. With the rest of us, by the way, Gino.
Some of us got out.
Yeah. But, I'd be quick enough now.
But Gino, imagine Gino walking down the town, and that was the Garavogue, right? That was where we all used to go out.
Can you imagine if people are going around going, oh my God, this is what they used to do for fun.
This was Maeve's bar, and then showing other things like the Rovers Ground.
If it happened on a Wednesday evening.
Yes.
And like in Maeve's, let's take Maeve's for instance. It happens on a Wednesday evening, Mark Hendy's playing.
A massive crowd of people died.
Me and me little tack of mine.
Yeah.
Preserved, and they're like, that's where now. And then Gino's like, now the word apparently at the time was that he was one of Sligo's top 900 one man shows.
Yes,
and they're like, oh my God, look!
But even tipping around the rest of the town, that's the record room. Kevin used to work up there.
That's right,
guitars,
t-shirts and guitars.
This
and
whole
CDs.
Area here was Tesco's. You know,
people used to say, drink outside us. Imagine some of the stuff. Yeah, the showgrounds. They'd say that's where they used to play football.
That's where they used to play the soccer.
Mad old stuff. Wouldn't it be unbelievable?
Anyway,
that was the hospital. No one ever got cured in there.
But of course, Gino would have to do it in a pure Sligo accent.
You want to see this hospital? That's not what Gino sounds like at all.
No, it's not. Sorry, Gino.
Yeah. So think about your own towns at home, lads.
Yeah.
What would be on a historical tour? Yeah. Of your town at home.
Yeah. Well, of course, in Castlereagh, it would have to be, this is where the elephant was buried.
This is where the elephant was buried and then buried again underneath the volcanic ash.
This is where the pool is. Obviously, now there is a roof in the pool.
The whole thing is covered.
The whole thing is covered.
The whole thing covered. We got there eventually. The other thing is that they'd be saying, this is where the Menstall Institution used to be, and it
was then
turned into a prison.
Yeah.
Do you know? Think about that. Sligo, they turned it into a lovely hotel.
That was our trip.
We turned it into a fucking prison. Come here, Ray.
Laura,
tell
the
truth.
We did 150,000 steps over the course of the 9 days.
Okay, now we're getting into it.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That sounded like a lovely trip. Up until you said, I think when me and Nicola went to Tenerife on our honeymoon, I think we probably maxed out at about 80 steps.
Crazy.
And that was the 10 steps it took to get to the all-inclusive bar.
Yeah.
That is nuts.
We did 12 kilometres, I believe.
And it's funny because you're older than I am, but you're clinging on to that... Like, I've been thinking about young people as well, like, when you went on that honeymoon.
Yeah.
Like, young people now, like I said, are going on those...
They're doing the active
adventure
stuff.
Honeymoons.
Yeah.
Now, so if you want to know what a young Irish person is like, the three things that will describe a young Irish person nowadays, they go to Australia.
Yes.
They go to the gym and they do Joe Kane. And that's the...
That's not every Irish young person.
No, it is, yeah. So that's
no, it's not.
If you want to... The early 20s Irish people, they go to Australia.
Yeah. They go to the gym.
They go to the gym and they look savage.
Yeah.
And they
don't drink pints now because they're just doing cocaine.
They don't drink pints, they do cocaine.
That's true.
Now, you're one of those now.
I'm not.
But sorry, you...
We did no cocaine while we were out there.
Of course not.
No.
But you're still... You'll do the adventure stuff.
It was
like
an adventure.
You have to remember, when we grew up, like I said, we went to Santa Panza for a week, like.
Yeah.
And we found an Irish bar.
And did no steps.
And me father and mother said, this is where we are now for 7 days.
Yeah.
Go up and get bacon fries and a Lucozade. The pool table's a euro.
Right, okay. Yes.
7 days.
Yeah, okay.
And me father said, the San Miguel is only 120.
Good. I'm going to drink that.
No. And my mother said, have you a beer shandy? They said, no, we don't. We haven't got here yet.
Yeah.
She said, have you Satanta Sports? Galway are playing Sligo.
That was
and they said,
trip.
We do have Satanta. Yeah. That was...
Yeah.
And that was an adventure. you're tipping round the Malfoy coast.
Yeah. The
people are heading off to Australia, working in mines. That's what they're doing for adventure now. Yeah. They're tipping off to fucking Vietnam, getting fiddled with by monkeys.
Yes.
And that's the difference between my generation and the new generation.
Did you know they found this the skeleton of a monkey in Navan? No.
That was just...
It's a very big segment.
Ray, that was a fellow playing pool. He just kind of had a bit of a hunchback.
They found a skeleton of a monkey in Navan Fort, which was where which one of the high kings of Ireland used to live.
Oh, I was going
to
say, yeah. It must have been a circus. No, you're talking about like a thousand years
I'm talking
years
about
ago.
350 before Christ. 350 BC, so it's 2,500 years
I was full sure it was a travelling circus. They found a bearded man.
It was a Greek lad that brought a monkey with him and said, here's a present of a monkey. And the monkey obviously lived in the rest of his days in Navan.
Thank God he was the only monkey in Ireland at the time. Because if they start riding right, the fucking place would be... You wouldn't have a watch left. You wouldn't be able to hold on to your sunglasses. Yeah. Like, there's a couple of things about Ireland that I love. Obviously, we said the weather. We're not into the weather here. Yeah. Obviously, it's a bit miserable. But the difference between Ireland and Australia and why I won't go there is I don't turn every corner in Ireland and go, that there's a spider or a snake there
or a
that
gecko.
Will kill you. Or a
terrifying yolks.
So the most poisonous shit in the world is in Australia.
We don't have
and then that. You say, do you know what I'm going to do now to get away from all that? I'm going to hop into the water to get away from us. Ooh. No, we have basking sharks that come up and give you a little kiss. Right? They have sharks that ate you like they're in a Jaws film. Yeah. Right? So that's why I can't be handling Australia. How do you live on that edge all the time?
It's your father. It's people like your father going over there going, I don't mind running out of petrol.
But I had a friend over there who, God fucking forgive them, right?
Died.
No.
Shark attack.
He's dead now. He got bit by a spider and he ran into the water to get away from it. He got ate by a shark. Their job in the outback was to get a shovel and cut the heads off the snakes that were coming into the farmland.
Jesus.
So they'd be coming in to nibble on all the lovely cows and such.
Yeah.
And they used to have to go around cutting, chopping the heads off them with a shovel.
Doing a St. Patrick job.
And I'm just thinking, yeah.
Full St. Patrick.
A full St. Patrick job. Just in the and I just remember when he told me that, I remember going, but sure, that's not a place you should be living.
No.
That's not for humans.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, like, the water's not really for humans either. I mean, I was laughing at you going in with your noodle and your water goggles.
Yeah.
But, like, we don't belong in the water.
No, but it was lovely. That's the Mediterranean. That's a different type of water.
But is there sharks in the Mediterranean?
I don't think so.
I think that I watch Bondi Rescue all the time.
Hmm.
And when it's not old weird fellas trying to grope women in the water.
I've seen
there's
that.
There's so many of those, isn't there?
It's so bad.
There's so many. When it's not that, it's flutes who get caught in the rip.
Yeah.
Or it's a siren going off for sharks. And I just end up going, are you sure we should be doing this stuff?
Yeah, true.
Should we be in there at all? Like,
look, it's living on the edge, not worrying.
I mean, I'm just a worrier, Ray. I don't think I'll ever change. Have you anything else you want to get on to, Ray?
I do, very quickly, I was drinking black tea the whole time I was over there because the milk was shite. And
Irish milk. That's the other thing as well, why I'm going to stay here, Ray. The cows abroad. The
cows abroad are too sweet. They're too sweet.
Sweet old tits on
sweet
the cows.
Sweet old titties on the cows
old
out there.
Old sweet tits.
Yeah. Sugar tits, we call them.
Old sugar tits cows abroad. Yeah. No, it's true, though.
It's very true.
We a good, hardy old cows, man.
So I got pure Italian and I started eating and drinking black tea.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely beautiful until I got onto the plane. We flew Aer Lingus because it was the honeymoon.
Woo!
Fancy.
That's when is the last time you didn't fly Ryanair? Yeah, holy shit.
But we were back in the plane in Aer Lingus. We were coming back over the water, right? And lady comes up, the air hostess, and she says, would you like anything from the cart?
From the street cart.
And I said, I'd love a cup of tea and a Kit Kat, right? Yeah. She said, milk? And I said, no, I'm fine. And she looked at me. She actually looked at me.
She said, how long have you been in Italy?
She just paused, looked at me. She didn't not give me, but she just looked at me and I went, what am I talking about? I lost the run of myself there. I was continuing to be Italian. And I have, the whole holiday's now over.
I would love if she had rubbed you on the shoulder and said, listen, don't be worried, I'm from Kilkenny. Yeah. You're amongst your own people now again.
So I'll have milk.
You'll have milk.
And it was
we have the good stuff here now, you know. But there is a lot to be said though for I'm telling you, there's a lot to be said for hanging around here. Like, what's wrong with the place? Like?
Nothing wrong. If you could just roof it.
No, but don't be out about it. I wouldn't even roof it, Ray. I just pray for good weather.
I have two last things.
Billy Connolly once said, when there's good weather in Scotland, he said, we walk around pure nervous going, we're going to pay for this.
Yeah,
I just thought it was
true.
So because we do it in Ireland as well.
We're going to pay for it.
When the weather is good in Ireland, do you know what? If I said to Nicola, Jesus Christ, it's supposed to be savage sunny.
Yeah.
You know, she'd say, I heard it's breaking Saturday. Like,
But whatever.
That's what we do. We go, no, we're not going. Are we walking away with that forever now? We're going to pay for that now. That couple of days.
I have to say, before I finish up the holiday story, the honeymoon story, my wife was tremendous on the trip.
Was she?
I laughed an awful lot. Yeah. She's fucking hilarious.
No better woman to go
with. No better woman to go away anywhere with. Yeah. She was very funny, and I swear to God, best trip ever.
As funny as if me and you had gone. All right, okay, we're going to move on because we paused there now and it cuts real deep. Okay.
Real deep. Last two things. I have to give a shout out to a gentleman called Dennis Welton. He is on a fuel truck in New Zealand. He found our podcast through, I'm sure, what was TikTok or Instagram.
Wow.
And he has listened to all 239 episodes since, I think, February.
Jesus Christ.
He says, we have made the last 2 or 3 months of his life so much easier. The crack. He said he followed our whole 6 years of life in 2 months.
Yeah.
And he says, really enjoyed it. Love a Louis shout out.
It is mad, the people who get onto you say that they've listened in that amount of time that have been through the journey with us. Like, they've started with us, we've got married, I've had kids, you know, they've done all of that. Like,
In 2 months.
Like, it's crazy. Come here, fair play in New Zealand. Fucking wow. And the great thing about that is Tommy and Hector have given up now. There's a huge opportunity. Gap there. There's a big opportunity there.
Can we get in there?
The two Johnnies can't have it all, Ray. Yeah. There has to be room for some, if we can get 10 or 12 listeners off them.
If we could just,
Do you know?
It's like one of those times when a pub closes in town, all of a sudden you get a couple more regulars.
Now, the two boys all of a sudden are sitting at the end of the bar down in the central.
Exactly.
Do you know?
I have...
Gananz is after closing, I'm going drinking down the central.
I have a thing I want to say to you.
Go on.
I want you to pick a number between 1 and 10.
Tell you about it.
And no, don't tell me. Just pick the number between 1 and 10. I want everybody at home. You might have heard this. If you have, great, forget about it.
Okay.
But yeah, Mark, pick a number between 1 and 10. Multiply that number by 9.
Ah, oh, for the love...
I'll give you a minute if you want to get the calculator out.
Yeah, can you give me my phone?
No!
For the love of shit in hell.
You can't do that. It's a number between 1 and 10 multiplied by 9. Ah, Jesus, Mark.
Ray, I am borderline foundation.
Foundation maths here, right, okay.
Honestly. So,
give us a second there while we're...
But I mean, people know already the number I'm thinking of because it was so hard to multiply by 9.
I don't want to know these things, right?
Okay.
Okay, so you've multiplied it by 9. So the two digits now, so you obviously got 2 digits in the number. I want you to add those 2 digits together, right? And now I want you to subtract 5. Okay,
you're still with me,
yeah?
No calculator needed.
Okay, so you've subtracted 5. So whatever number you have now, find the corresponding letter in the alphabet.
I have it already.
Oh, you have it. Okay, perfect. Okay.
I'm quick, man. I don't need the phone for this.
Yeah, okay.
Wait, now, what did you say to me there? I'm getting too confident. You mean like count up to the letter?
Yeah, so if it was 1, if the number you're left with is 1, it's A. Yeah, exactly.
I am with you.
So whatever,
I'm flying.
Whatever letter you've picked, okay, I want you to think of a country that starts with that letter.
Okay, give me a second.
A country now that starts with that letter.
Yep.
Okay. Now, the last letter of the country, right, I want you to think of an animal. Okay, that starts, the name of an animal that starts with the last, okay, you have it, big thumbs up, yeah. Now, that animal, the last letter of that animal's name, use that letter to think of a colour.
Yeah.
All right? And can I ask you, have you seen any orange kangaroos hopping around Denmark lately?
What the fuck?
Was that what you did?
Are you Darren Brown?
No! It's great, isn't it?
That's exactly
what you were thinking.
There's a way you've done that somewhere.
No, I've done it because I've robbed it off a fellow on TikTok. That's what I've done.
Did you tell Nick that start saying these words to me subconsciously for the last 2 weeks?
No. See, out of all the things, out of all the countries in the world, Denmark, kangaroo and orange.
Do you know what's funny? Do you know what's really funny? I initially thought of Dagestan. And then I was like, no, is that a region? That might
I
not
think
be a
the reason it works well is because there aren't that many countries beginning with D.
Yeah.
And then similarly, kangaroo is very few K animals.
Yeah. Koala, and we were talking about Australia.
Yeah,
the whole...
you could have gone koala there and ruined my day.
Isn't it funny that though? But Darren Brown would have said to you, like, that's the subconscious of human nature is that they all go for that, like everyone does.
Yeah, and that's what it is apparently. It's very good. I wonder, did everybody else get orange kangaroos around Denmark?
Jeez, you've got very smart since you came back from Italy.
I know, says
fucking
I.
Hell.
Come here, before we go.
Yeah.
A Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks very much for those of you that are helping us out. I have to say, it's really, really much appreciated.
No, it is, and it keeps us doing this.
Over.
It's patreon.com/KindyRabel Podcast.
And if you do want to sign up, if you are listening to the podcast and you'd like to give us a fiver a month, just a fiver.
Yeah, or a tenner, you know, if you're feeling very generous.
A tenner, like, I mean, it's what? It's not even.
You get a mug if you give us the tenner.
You get a mug if you give us the tenner, and we might get you a t-shirt if you give us the fiver.
Oh, you get a t-shirt. And on top of that, so you get a t-shirt if you give us the fiver, you get a mug and a t-shirt if you give us the tenner. Yeah. But on top of that, across all the platforms, you get to watch the video version of this.
And you get to give us the fiver on tenner then for months after that.
Yeah.
Try and pay off the t-shirt and the mug.
And we spend that on diesel to go around the town twice.
trying to find viewers.
Yeah, try five viewers. Well, maybe tipping around trying to find viewers.
We spend that on the Stig for doing all the video work.
That's keeping, right. Keeping us who is flying on the TikTok and the Instagram. We can't tell you who it is. Nope. We have our own Stig who does our video editing.
Now, also,
yep.
Maeve's Bar.
Yeah.
Thanks for sponsoring us.
Yeah. I'm not just saying this for no reason. Mm-hmm. I genuinely mean this. Everyone listen up. I genuinely mean this. I'm in there usually like twice a week, right?
It's a shit hole,
shitbox.
All right.
The smell is anywhere else. The smell is most apt. No. I am in there. Like, I was in there at 9 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't know how they built it the way they built it. The crack.
Good crack.
You walk in the door and there's just an atmosphere all the way down to the back door.
Yeah.
I don't know if they meant to do that.
No, they got specialists in atmosphere.
Atmosphere specialists, yeah. It's fucking, what a spot that is. Like. Very good. So job. I'm there every Wednesday night in Maeve's playing. Yeah. 10 o'clock every Wednesday.
If you'd like to meet Kendi in the flesh,
yeah, and then
get him to sign your sugar tits.
Oh, I will be signing boobs, both male and female.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't matter. As long as you have a diddy, I'll sign it. Do you know?
Yeah.
It costs more if you're up above a double D. So
yeah, there's more to
sorry,
sign.
It costs less actually if you're up above a double D. Because I'll just be, I want to stick my head. Yeah. No,
stop
and the
now.
Fellas ones. I'll stick my head in between the fellas, pair of old diddies.
Anyway, thanks to Mayus for sponsoring.
Fair play to Mayus for sponsoring us. What a spot that is, genuinely. Yeah. It's fucking, I'm so glad there's a spot like that in Psycho.
That's everything now for episode.
Fair play to Brendan. It's 240. And fair play to Brendan for flicking the keys clean off himself. It's good to have him back again. Yeah. Episode 240. There you go, lads. We're back.
That's it.
Ray, fair play to me.
Fair play to me.
Good luck.
Good luck.
The Kendi and Rabo Podcast, sponsored by Maeve's Cozy Front Lounge.